Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we've got a fascinating stack of sources, internal documents, engineering leaks, all pointing to Samsung's next big thing, the Galaxy S26 Ultra. And if these reports are true, and they seem to be, we aren't just looking at a normal annual refresh.
No, not at all. This looks more like a radical redefinition of what a smartphone even is.
So our mission today is to cut through all the noise. We want to really analyze the engineering choices that have analysts calling this the buttonless revolution. Mm. We're asking, does the hype actually match the reality of the engineering? And are these choices Samsung is making genuinely innovative or maybe just polarizing for the sake of it?
I think the documents paint a really clear picture. This is a piece of extreme engineering. It's all about material science, grade 5 titanium, for instance, and this huge computational leap from a new 2-nanometer chip.
Okay.
But the big theme, the one that ties it all together, is convergence. It seems like Samsung is borrowing ideas from totally unrelated fields, like the electric vehicle industry for battery tech, mm-hmm. and specialized cooling that you'd normally see in, say, a gaming console. They're building a simple slab, but that slab is designed to challenge physics.
That idea of convergence is key. We can't analyze this just as a phone. It's a hyper-engineered component. Okay, let's unpack this. And I think we have to start with the biggest, most controversial change.
Oh, yeah. The complete abandonment of physical buttons.
As sources confirm it, the S26 Ultra will have a perfectly smooth, solid frame made from grade 5 titanium. The volume rocker.
On.
The power button.
Bamoosed. You're left holding this sleek, uninterrupted piece of metal.
But that immediately brings up a huge consumer concern, right? I mean, we all rely on that physical bump, that muscle memory, to control our phones without even looking.
Of course. And that's where they're banking on some serious engineering to overcome what is, you know, a lot of historical skepticism.
We've seen this tried before.
We have. Remember the HTC U12 Plus bug, mm-hmm. or even some of those early haptic home buttons? They mostly fail because the feedback was just mm-hmm. vague. It was mushy.
So what's different here?
Samsung's approach is called NDT. Or neural pressure touch technology.
Neural pressure touch. Sounds very sci-fi. Can you break that down for us?
It's all about highly localized force registration. Embedded right under that titanium skin are these microscopic, super-sensitive strain gauges.
Okay.
They don't just register a general squeeze of the frame. They're designed to register precise, intentional force on a very specific spot. And that input is then instantly paired with their new linear haptic engine V4.
So the feedback is the whole game. It's not just getting the input. It's about making it feel real.
Exactly. This V4 engine is way more powerful and precise than anything they've used before. It gives you this incredibly crisp, short burst of vibration that's so localized it actually fools your brain.
It tricks your somatosensory system.
Yes. It makes you perceive a physical click, a depression. The phone hasn't moved at all, but you feel it. They're literally simulating a mechanical button with neuroengineering.
And that is the ultimate test, isn't it? Can it really replace that satisfying click we all know? If they pull it off, what's the big payoff for Samsung? Why go through all this trouble?
Two words. Structural integrity. When you remove buttonholes, you eliminate weak points in the frame.
Ah, right.
And that's the reason our sources are so confident about an IP69 rating.
IP69. So we're not just talking about dropping it in a pool anymore.
We're talking about resistance to high pressure, high temperature water jets. Think about using it in a factory or a commercial kitchen. You could basically power wash this device.
A completely sealed, high durability slab. But there's still that con you mentioned, the learning curve. How do I turn the volume down in a dark movie theater without fumbling?
That's the tricky part. And Samsung is trying to solve it with AI. The leaks mention something called AI texture recognition.
How does that work?
The idea is that the phone is constantly analyzing how you're holding it. It learns your grip, your subtle finger movements, to prevent accidental touches, especially when you're pulling it out of a pocket.
So it's a software fix for a hardware decision.
Exactly. It's almost an admission that the NDT isn't foolproof on its own. They're using the phone's brain to solve a physical problem they created.
Which is a perfect segue. Let's move from the sealed exterior to the engine inside. We're talking about the Snapdragon 8 Gen 5 for Galaxy. And this is where things get really interesting.
The architecture is. It's a genuine revolution for mobile. Sources confirm Qualcomm has finally moved to a 2-nanometer manufacturing process.
And that's a huge leap, right? We've been seeing these tiny incremental shrinks for years. 5 millimeter, then 4, then 3.
It's an incredibly complex jump from an engineering perspective.
So for you listening at home, what does that actually mean? Is it just about raw speed?
It's about power efficiency. and, crucially, sustained performance. Yes, the Adreno 800 GPU has a massive 40% jump in peak performance. That's a huge number. But the real win with a 2-nanometer process is how long it can maintain that speed. When you're doing heavy lifting gaming for an hour, shooting high-res video, it doesn't have to throttle nearly as fast. The chip just generates less heat.
So it's not just fast, it's consistently fast. And that changes things for really intensive apps.
You mentioned console-quality gaming. Does this mean ray tracing on mobile is actually viable now?
Absolutely. The documents we have mention benchmarks where titles like Call of Duty, Warzone are running with ray tracing on at a locked 120 frames per second at 1440p resolution. That level of graphical fidelity, that smoothness, that was reserved for a dedicated console plugged into a wall. It changes everything.
That is staggering. But it brings us right back to the design challenge, doesn't it? You've got this sealed titanium box running at speeds that create a ton of heat. Mm-hmm. That heat has to go somewhere, or that 2-millimeter advantage is totally wasted.
And that was the next big engineering hurdle. To cool that chip, they needed a radical solution. The leaks detail a massive new system, a graphene-assisted vapor chamber.
And it spans almost the whole back of the phone.
Nearly the entire physical area. It's not just little copper pipe anymore. Graphene is key here because it's incredibly efficient at spreading heat sideways. So it's less of a pipe and more like a big, flat radiator.
That's a perfect way to put it. It takes the heat from the chip and just spreads it across the entire chassis. The whole back of the phone becomes a heat sink, dumping that thermal energy out through the titanium.
Okay, let's shift from speed to the visuals. Because if the guts are putting out console graphics, the screen better be world class. And it sounds like it is. Samsung Display's new M15 OLED material set.
And this new material delivers probably the most jaw-dropping spec of the whole device. 4,500 nits of peak brightness.
4,500.
Yes. For context, your current phone is probably somewhere between, 1,800 and 2,500 nits. This is nearly doubling the industry standard in a single jump.
So what does the average person even do with 4,500 nits of brightness?
Two main things. First, just surviving outdoors.
Yeah.
If you ever tried to watch a video in direct, harsh sunlight, you know, the screen just washes out. It completely overcomes that glare.
And the second thing?
True HDR content. When you're watching a movie, those tiny bright highlights, like a glint of sun on water or glass, they will look genuinely, startlingly lifelike, far beyond what current screens can do.
And they're also cleaning up the edges of the screen with something called BRS.
Right, border reduction structure. The problem is that screens need copper wiring around the edges for power. As bezels get smaller, you start to see that wiring.
So what's the trick?
BRS tucks that copper wiring underneath the OLED panel itself. It's sort of folded back.
Like tucking a fitted sheet under a mattress.
Exactly like that. And the result is bezels that are stunningly thin. Under 0.8 millimeters, reportedly. It creates that all-screen, edge-to-edge look.
And they're topping it with Gorilla Glass armor, too.
Which supposedly blocks 90% of reflection. So you have a screen that's incredibly bright, with almost no border and virtually no glare.
But a screen that bright plus that 2-millimeter chip running full tilt, that has to be a spectacular drain on the battery.
It is, which demanded a corresponding leap in battery tech. And that's where the EV industry influence really shows up.
Stacked battery cells.
Yes. Instead of laying battery components out side by side, they're stacked vertically. This allows for much tighter, denser energy packaging in the same physical space.
So they're packing more fuel into the same engine bay.
That's the idea. And it lets the capacity jump all the way up to 5,800 milliraw. That's a big increase from the usual 5,000. It's a crucial buffer against the demands of that screen and that chip.
Capacity is only half the problem, though. The other half is refilling it. And for years, Samsung has been pretty conservative with charging speeds.
Not anymore. It seems they finally answered the call. The S26 Ultra is rumored to support 100-watt wired charging.
100 watts.
Yeah. That is a fundamental quality of life improvement. The leak suggests 0% to 100% in roughly 24 minutes.
Wow.
It completely eliminates the need for overnight charging. If you can get a 50% charge while you're taking a shower in the morning, it just changes your relationship with the battery.
Okay, let's move to the cameras. This is maybe the biggest headline number in the whole leak. 320 megapixels. It feels like Samsung is jumping back into the megapixel war.
They are.
We always hear that megapixels don't matter, but 320 is a massive number. What's the catch? And why now?
Well, the catch is obvious. File size. Uncompressed 320MP photos are going to be enormous. you'll need serious storage management. But the reason it matters is that Samsung is using that sheer resolution to replace optical parts.
With something they call in-sensor zoom.
Exactly. It's basically just cropping the image.
But it's a lossless crop.
Functionally, yes. Because the sensor is 320 megapixels, the phone can digitally crop into the center at 2x, 4x, even 6x, and still produce a final photo that's 50 megapixels or more. It lets them get rid of bulky 2x or 3x optical lenses.
Replacing glass with computation, but they haven't gotten rid of all the lenses. The leaks detail a full quad camera setup.
It's completely stacked. You start with that main 320mp 1-inch sensor, which has a variable aperture.
So it can shift between f1.7 for low light and a Sharpo f4.0?
Right. Then you have a 50mp ultra-wide, a 50mp 3x optical telephoto, and a 50mp 10x periscope with continuous optical zoom.
But the sources hint at something wild on that 3x telephoto lens, something called liquid lens technology.
This is really future-forward stuff.
Yeah.
A liquid lens replaces the moving glass elements with a little cell of liquid, usually oil and water. By applying an electrical current, they can instantly change the shape of that liquid.
And changing the shape changes the focus.
Instantaneously. It's orders of magnitude faster than moving physical glass. The thinking is they'll use this on the 3x lens specifically for portraits. Lightning fast focus, perfect depth mapping.
It's like it's mimicking the human eye.
That's the goal.
All this amazing hardware needs some seriously smart software to run it. Let's shift to the brain. One UI 8.1 on Android 16. The big idea here is anticipatory AI.
Yeah, and anticipatory AI is designed to make the phone almost invisible until you need it. It's not just reacting to you, it's trying to predict your next move.
That sounds convenient, but also a little spooky. Give me a concrete example of this context-aware feature.
Okay, a great one from the leak is the morning coffee run. The AI learns that you leave your house at 8 a.m. every weekday and immediately check the wait time at your usual coffee shop.
Okay.
So it's 7:59 a.m. The context-aware feature preloads that app, that specific screen, into RAM. It then suggests it on your lock screen 1 minute before you even think to do it yourself.
The phone is living one step ahead of you. And speaking of computational power, the new NPU is apparently enabling a feature that sounds like it defies physics. Real-time video erase.
Yes. We're used to removing people or objects from photos, right?
Trip razor.
The leak suggests the 200 meter NPU is now powerful enough to do that for video. As you're recording, you can select a person, and the AI will remove them and fill in the background on the fly. That kind of computational load is only possible because of that sustained performance we talked about.
So let's synthesize this. What does this all mean? We've got the grade 5 titanium body, the NDT buttonless controls, a 4500 nit display, 320 megapixel in-sensor zoom, 100 watt charging.
It means Samsung is forcing the industry forward on multiple fronts all at once. They're taking huge expensive risks. And that leads directly to the economic reality our sources mention.
Which is that innovation isn't cheap.
Not at all. The base price is expected to jump to $1,399 for the 256 GB model. And you can see why. The titanium milling, the low yields on a new 2-nanometer chip, that huge camera sensor, the liquid lens. It all adds up.
So the sources conclude that the S26 Ultra is a polarizing masterpiece. It seems like Samsung isn't interested in playing it safe anymore. They're playing to win.
Exactly. And that strategic push, especially when you combine the physical redesign with the predictive software, that's the really fascinating takeaway here. It raises a pretty important question.
Yes. And this is the question for you to think about. If the NDT technology perfectly simulates the feeling of a physical switch, effectively tricking your brain.
And at the same time, the phone's anticipatory AI is predicting your actions before you even consciously decide to act.
Are we entering a new phase where the line between digital prediction and physical interaction just dissolves? What new demands does that hyper-convenience place on our attention, on our critical thinking, when our main computer is constantly trying to live one step ahead of us?
It's a fascinating thought.
It really is. A look at our relationship with technology and where it's all going. That is all the time we have for this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.